Hey, Rich. Good morning.
Good morning, Dawn. You've become the master.
Oh, stop.
Okay.
It's not true.
I'm like Luke Skywalker in the new spin-off.
It's not true.
I'm just lonely in the mountains with a beard trying to find my way.
Never.
That's what I've become.
But you're humble. How are you?
I'm good. Mama Zioli won't let me leave the hotel room, so I've been here the entire week. She's terrified of the crime in Chicago. I get daily messages from
Richie.
Her. So,
Richie,
yeah.
I'm worried. Top investigative journalist for sure. You know, maybe Mama Zioli. I think I trust Mama Zioli and her investigative journalistic skills after the Chinese balloon incident. But I think I trust her journalistic abilities more than the so-called mainstream media.
Well, I agree with you. And, you know, it's interesting because I know you were a reporter here in Chicago. So at some point I'm waiting for the text with great restaurant recommendations, which I haven't gotten yet. But that's OK. we can come back to that. I will tell you that the fawning by the corporate media over Oprah Winfrey, Michelle Obama, and then last night, the goofy Midwestern, football coach. It's just so funny to me. I mean, it really is. Like, we talk about it all the time, the bias, but the love fest from these people. It's just, I don't know. It's cringy, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're seeing it. I mean, you're seeing it front and center. So take us behind the scenes. I mean, hear from, watching it on TV, watching the fact that most of the media did not really report and kind of buried the story of all of those arrests that happened and how they made, they did that major sweep of people right before Obama spoke, because I don't think they wanted any split screen of violence that was happening. But take me through just your so far, and I know that the big so-called headliner is going to be tonight, but your takeaway as you think about this week in Chicago.
Democrats are terrified. They won't come on my show. They won't come on Fox News shows. They're very selective on what they do. I've heard from other conservative radio hosts who are here. They can't get any surrogates on. The DNC just won't. You see, at the RNC, they would bring surrogates around all the time, and we would people come on different shows. But they had Democrat-leaning shows or left-leaning radio shows on Radio Row, too, and the RNC still brought surrogates over there. We have put in request after request. We cannot get any guests on our show. And there's a reason for that. It's the same pattern of why they're hiding Kamala Harris. They do not want anyone to debate policy with them. We thought we were going to get the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania on the show, which I said, great. And I was going to be respectful, but I was just going to say, how are you really confident Kamala Harris is going to not try to ban fracking, since she said she was and she hasn't officially said she isn't? It was a campaign statement that was put out. We couldn't get the lieutenant governor on. We've tried for John Fetterman, and he won't come on, which is shocking because he's not even here. But it's just a very carefully guarded, this is a big Hollywood movie we're watching, Dawn. This is a giant production that they're doing. And they don't want anyone to sit down with the characters in this movie and go behind the scenes with them. So it's the most carefully orchestrated thing I've ever seen in all my time in politics. And so for our perspective, we see the big names like Jennifer Granholm and other people walk by us, but they won't come on and face actual questions from a host who would be respectful, but would ask them questions about Pennsylvania energy policy and, crime and everything else.
So Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, why wouldn't he go on the Zioli show? You're live there. And Radio 1210 WPHT, number one talk show on all of Odyssey in the nation. Why not? Why do you think Governor Josh Shapiro, he looked very bronzed. Whoever bronzed him did a better job than I used to bronze you, by the way. Because I did your hair and makeup for the Trump White House interview. I'm just going to say that.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And I still have the makeup kit you gave me for my Fox News hits. And I have to put all that caking on my nose, otherwise it gets like Rudolph, just a giant red. Look, I don't know. Shapiro, I was terrified they were going to pick him as the VP. Thank God they didn't. I think he would have been a very formidable candidate. And I think that, this is a Democrat party that glossed over him because he's Jewish. You see it while you're here. The fact that they didn't really mention Israel. There's all these protesters going on, and Biden goes off script the other night and says these protesters outside they have a point. And the DNC is trying to pretend like these protests aren't happening. They have them cornered off into a park, which I know you're very familiar with in Chicago, but it's not in anywhere near the actual, you know, perimeter. So they're trying to pretend like this isn't happening. I would just ask Shapiro, you know, I mean, how can you be in a party that would pass you up for VP because of your religious faith? Because that's it. I mean, that's what happened. Even Van Jones admitted that was the case for Shapiro. So, and I would say to him, you know, this is for your state. You support fracking. Fracking is a huge industry in Pennsylvania. It might be our biggest besides agriculture. How do you possibly support someone who has openly said she would on day one end fracking? How can you, as the governor of a state that gets billions of dollars in tax revenue from fracking and employs, you know, tens of thousands of people in the industry, not just to mention what the towns also and the cities in Pennsylvania benefit from that, and the people that get leases, land leases, and everything else. How can you as governor support that, knowing that could be the end of the major industry in your state? But he won't face the questioning, Dawn. They will not allow anyone to face questioning from the media. I mean, where's Kamala Harris? Has she done an interview yet? No.
No. It's amazing to me. And the fact that they're pulling this off when... And just think about that. It's almost like QVC. It's always amazed me, Rich Scioli, that QVC, they can hold up, I don't know, they can hold up like the coffee cup and talk about it and make it seem like the best cup that you've ever seen. And if you buy this, it'll make you look younger and feel younger, right? And they're pretty amazing, those hosts. Try to do that. That's what they're doing. They're selling joy. That's all they've got is joy and abortion. Oh my goodness. And they're actually pulling off what appears, I guess, to most of America as respectable. It's crazy.
Yeah, you know, that's it, right? I mean, that's the movie plot line, joy and abortion, which are two competing themes. I don't really get how they fit together, but and I was really hoping they would have shown a picture of Doug Emhoff's nanny the other night. I was rooting for that. I was hoping to see that. And boy, did that guy come off as the biggest dork in America, huh? I mean, it's Doug. If you really believe that she has that voicemail and plays it for him on their anniversary, I'm calling BS on that. I think that's a fugazi. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's astute of you. At first, when I was watching it, I thought, oh gosh, he just seems like, wow, like a dream. And then I actually thought, well, wow, maybe this is why the nanny with the first wife, fell for him. What a slick talker this guy is, right? And maybe that's inappropriate, but not for nothing, but nobody's talking about the nanny. I mean, Guy Shiraki, it was shrewd of him to put that Kamala is like the Mary Poppins, who was a nanny, but he never talks about like what you and I are talking about, but that's to me the wink wink reference, like the nanny thing. Yeah. But Rich, I look at this and I think to myself, I believe, you know me, I'm always half glass full, and I think no, after this is over and people sort of wake up and clear your eyes and you're still paying more and you're still having to, you know, grocery shop. I know with Patrick, he's like, is he as tall as you yet? I haven't seen him in a little bit, but you know, you think about you know, you've got three little kids, you and Bridget, and you still got to go to the grocery store like three times a week, and you still got to fill up the gas tank. I just think for the average American, no matter where you are, the reality has to run out of gas, you know, make this joyride, I'll say, make Kamala's joyride run out of gas.
I think that's an excellent way to put it. And when you listen to these billionaires like Oprah Winfrey or multimillionaires like Michelle Obama lecture us about how hard it is out there, I just think it comes across very out of touch and very elitist. And I know that, you know, within the rally, it's like, yeah, you know, this is great. And I mean, within the convention, but you're preaching to the choir. And I just don't know how many people who are struggling in Chicago really feel as if Michelle and Barack Obama, who ran out of Chicago. I mean, like, Obama comes, he goes, oh, it's great to be home. You're not home, dude. Home is when you leave, you go on vacation, you come home. You don't live here anymore. This is not your home. And it comes across, I think, very elitist, very out of touch, and they can't talk about their economic plans. I guess the real big question, Dawn, is what does she wear tonight? Because you know she's going to rock the pantsuit. Does she go white? Because white is what Hillary Clinton wore in 2016. I'm trying to take some bets on this. What do you think?
I think she'll wear white.
White. You're going white. I'm going white.
And my second choice, she wore blue earlier in the week. So that's why I'm going against the blue. Obviously, she looks great in red, but it's not going to be red. It's not going to be the brown or the khaki. So she's done all those colors, so I'm thinking it's the white.
I'm going with the white. So.
Because she can't wear white when she debates Trump, because that's what Hillary wore, the famous Ralph Lauren white, which was a great suit. So she's not going to wear white in the debate. But I think she wears white tonight, if we're taking bets.
All right, I'm going to go blue.
A different shade of blue?
I'm going a different shade of blue because Hillary wore white at the convention when she accepted the nomination in 2016. Remember when she was playing with the balloons?
Yes.
She looked like so I think that's when the robot, the circuits fried at one point when she was playing with the balloons. So I don't know. I don't know if they want that contrast. But it's interesting to think about. I think about this all the time when I go on TV. I have two questions, which is always A, you know, which color will hide my rosacea, and B, which one will make me look less fat? So, I mean, these are the questions I think about.
You look fabulous.
Dawn. Oh, thank you.
You
so
look
sweet.
Fabulous, darling. No,
but I'm bringing this up because, I mean, tonight's speech is not going to have substance.
Nope.
You know, nothing about this convention has been substantive. It's all been a show. So if your main character is coming out tonight, you got to think about the wardrobe. And I know, as people are listening, they're like, why are they talking about the color of her suit? Because it matters. It absolutely does.
Yes.
But they are so choreographed here and so carefully packaging her and packaging this entire thing in such a way of hope and change and positive and rah-rah optimism in America that they every detail is thought of. So I guarantee you there's been an actual debate about what color she wears tonight. I 100% guarantee that that's been a debate within the campaign, no doubt.
This is how astute you are. It has a picture of her in Elle magazine with a different colored blue suit, like a double-breasted, and it says, Kamala Harris is redefining political power dressing. And this is today's headline that they're talking about. But I don't see, they're saying she's tailored, she has the shoulder pads, but what will she wear? So I'm not seeing that they're releasing. I think they're having a little poll. Okay, before I ask you what you have coming up today, because today's the finale and the big day, you broke the story, and it was during one of your great Cape May live events, and you actually, Rich Cioli, broke the story of the canine Ember, who was killed in South Jersey, and we never, Governor Murphy's administration, his AG, was supposed to investigate. They've been very tight-lipped. To the credit of 6ABC, they're the only ones who really have continued to ever even mention it. But by all accounts, every time I call, it's like nobody will talk about it. Is there any news that you've heard, or I want to put this on your radar as a reminder because we're coming up. It was August, and it was 2 years ago, my friend, that you broke that story. And we still don't have the answers for canine Ember in South Jersey.
No, I'll have to do some digging and ask my South Jersey friends for some intel. I know that His Royal Ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, is here in Chicago. So maybe I can get an interview with him and maybe he'll interview one of his lowly peasants and we can talk about it. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of answers. We still haven't gotten answers around Katie Brennan, Dawn. That was a story that we were all over years ago when we were together in afternoons.
Yes.
And yeah, I mean, there's still the nursing home deaths in New Jersey that are still covered up. We still don't have answers around that. I mean, there's so many. Oh, by the way, and I love how Tim Walz last night was like, mind your own business.
Yeah.
It's a mind your own business, except if your neighbor has 11 people over during COVID. Then
on their porch.
Then snitch on them with our state hotline that we set up for you. Yeah. And then we'll have the police go by and shoot them with paintballs. Otherwise, mind your own business. I mean, come on.
It's so true. I mean, the hypocrisy. By the way, have you been to the paint? Have you done that yet with Patrick, the paintballing? It's coming.
Well, we've done the paintballing. Yeah. Yeah, we've done it. And I'm looking forward to shooting some of my neighbors with paintballs as we get closer to the election. Because today on the show, I don't know yet. We're still working it out. We may have Vivek Ramaswamy on. We had Donald Trump Jr. on yesterday.
Nice.
Byron Donalds earlier in the week. I got to do a sit-down interview with him, which was a lot of fun. It's kind of a lot of moving pieces, Dawn, but either way, we'll do our best to keep you informed for 4 hours today. As best
you always
we possibly
do.
Can, with zero Democrat surrogates and zero Democrat elected officials and no one who will go on the record and talk about Kamala Harris from the DNC's perspective. But it's not for lack of trying. We keep asking. So
no, you're doing it. I mean, you're doing a great job. I did retweet the Byron Donalds interview is fantastic. It's a great interview. Do you think he'll be president someday?
I'd say why. He'd be a great one. And he's so natural and down to earth. And what I loved about him too is that he's always like, he's got such a great knack for calling out BS. So when he's going on about how Tim Walz is talking about his white guy tacos, he's like, come on, man, like tuna fish on a taco. Like, I love that about the guy. He's just total BS. And I asked him about cheesesteaks, and he's like, provolone, come on. Like, it's not even a question with Byron Donalds, you know?
I love it. Well, I love
and
you, too.
And this reporter asked him at the press conference for Trump, they asked him, they go, you know, Trump at this rally for Michigan, I mean, you know, around KKK or white supremacists, and he looks at him, he's like, seriously, like, you know I'm black, right? Like, I'm standing up here as a Trump surrogate, and I'm a black guy, and you're asking me if Trump's a racist. Like enough. Like, stop. You know, and he's really good at pushing back on these people, and I love that about him.
It's so true. I still have faith. I do pray about it every day, but I still have faith that come, I don't know, it'll be like maybe late January, maybe around your birthday, maybe February, March, like moving in, and we'll be, maybe you'll have a chance that you take us all back there to the Oval Office with Trump Force 47, and maybe possibly you'll be able to get yourself a silver platter.
You know, it's too soon. I mean, really, for you to bring that up, it's too soon. And it still stings. All right. It stings. You bring it up, Dawn, it's still, you know.
See, but it's all about second chances.
Well, yes, Doug Emhoff proved that to us. It's all about second chances.
Amen. Well, we'll be watching and or listening. This afternoon, the great Rich Scioli. I love you, man. And I'm with Mama Scioli. Be safe, baby. As she says.
I love you too, Dawn. Have a great show, and I will talk to you very soon. Yeah.